97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Oh, we're down to 6 days. Can you believe it? One of our other great contributors, Josh Krasauer, who is a 97.1 FM Talk political insider, the editor-in-chief of the Jewish Insider, regular on Fox, is with us. Josh, how are you?
First of all, great to be back with you, Mark, and it's hard to believe we're less than a week away till the election.
Well, let me say this just sincerely to you, because I so much appreciate, I have a lot of great contributors here on this in the show, and you've been with me for a long time through about 8 different, you know, outlets that you've worked for, if we're being honest here, Josh. But I know how busy you are, and you're on Fox all the time, and the demands are high. So thank you so much, because you and I have talked politics for a long time, but here it is, only a few more days. And let me start with obviously the story of the day, the garbage story. And I guess maybe you can juxtapose this with the MSG story Trump had for a couple of days in the news cycle. So what do you make of this right now? Because it has taken on a life of its own, hasn't it?
Well, look, we always talk about October surprises. I don't think either development is going to make that much of a difference, but in a close race, every little development matters. And I think the biggest takeaway from it, Mark, is that Democrats were planning to go on offense in the last week by highlighting that talk show host's garbage rant against Puerto Rico at the MSG rally.
Right.
And now they can't do that. Now every time you mention the word garbage, Republicans are going to respond with Biden's admission that he believes a lot of the Trump supporters are garbage. So they've neutralized that issue, which was looking like a closing argument or part of a closing argument from the Harris campaign. So that tactically, that is a setback for Democrats. I think, I'm getting a lot of 2016 vibes with this election.
Yeah.
With Hillary, when I that was my immediate reaction upon seeing the soundbite from Joe Biden. That was the deplorables election. This is the garbage election. This is all about vibes. We're looking at the blue wall states, which tipped at the last minute to Republicans in 2016. It looks like the polling suggests, well, there's mixed polling, but
yeah,
it does feel like the Republicans are confident about having a similar trifecta in 2024. And also the messaging. Harris is talking about saving democracy, the stakes being about democracy and less about the economy. That was the Hillary message. And also the gender gap and the fact that Harris has actually not been running as much on her gender identity, but lately with the focus on abortion rights and the Michelle Obama appeal to women, very similar to Hillary's closing message in 2016 as well. So what happened in 2016? That was a year Trump won those blue wall states for the only time, I think, since 1992. And won the election, and the polling seems to suggest we could see a similar result this time around.
And Josh, you know this because I brought this up with you, and one of my little data points from 2016 is Wisconsin, because I lived there. And I don't know how much this might happen now, but look, Trump, the fact of the matter is Trump did not get a whole lot more votes than Mitt Romney did 4 years behind that or before that. But the clear difference was Hillary Clinton had a quarter million, 250,000 votes fewer because people stayed home, African-Americans stayed home. Some of this manifested itself in Michigan as well. She's got a problem with African-American men in particular. I'm not so sure it doesn't, kind of roll over into some African-American women who not necessarily will vote for Trump. But there's an issue there, I think. What are your thoughts about that aspect of these swing states?
Well, there are polls in the working class part of the Democratic coalition writ large. So, yes, black men, black working class men in Michigan, and not just Michigan, but Pennsylvania, all those states, that's a problem, not just for who they vote for, but also the turnout. And I think there's some real risk for the Democrats that the turnout in counties like Milwaukee and Dane County, Wayne County, Michigan, Philadelphia, and so on, are not going to be where they usually are for Democrats. There's a lot of evidence that the turnout is going to be not where it was in 2020, and maybe not where it was in 2016. And there's a margin issue. You mentioned black men. I think that's a real problem for the Harris campaign. It's also union members.
Sure.
In those states. We're seeing continued slippage from, those white working class union members that were solidly Democrat a decade ago. Now the trend line is in the other direction. Hispanic voters, that's why that garbage comment initially at Madison Square Garden was potentially damaging, because Hispanic working class voters, if you look at all the polls and you look at all the trend lines, they're moving a little bit to the Republican Party.
Right.
We'll see if that holds. But those are there are definitely chips in the coalition for the Democrats on the working class side of it. And that's Michigan is a great example of that. They're black voters in Detroit. You've got union members across the state. It's a state that went for I believe, Obama by double digits in 2012, and now it is definitely neck and neck between the two candidates.
And then there's Pennsylvania, and I want to get your reaction to this. I thought this was fascinating. I like John Fetterman sometimes because he's a little like me in that he calls it like he sees it, and here's what he said about the support for Trump in his state.
You've said that Trump has a special connection with the people 100%. Of Pennsylvania. Why? What is it that you see that he appeals to in your state?
There's a difference between not understanding, but also acknowledging that it exists. And anybody spends time driving around and you can see the intensity. It's astonishing.
Just anecdotal, or is that something that's pretty real right now in Pennsylvania? He's seen it, right?
Oh, I would take John Fetterman's word for it, especially when he's speaking out against potential party interest. John Fetterman, by the way, cracked the code in 2022 against even my expectations. He at a time when he was running against Dr. Oz, he really overperformed in parts of the state like Erie and Northeast Pennsylvania, Scranton and Wilkes-Barre, in the blue collar parts of the state where I thought the Democratic Party was losing ground. But it was John Fetterman's background and profile culturally that really connected with a lot of those swing voters. He's not seeing that with Kamala Harris. I mean, that's his way of saying Kamala Harris is not connecting as a San Francisco liberal, not connecting the same way I did in my Senate race 2 years ago. And he knows those voters. Those are the swing voters that went Democrat in 2022, voted for Josh Shapiro in the same election. They're not sold on Kamala Harris. Fracking has been a big issue in the state. She was against fracking in the 2020 campaign. She's obviously changed her view on that, but there's a lot of worry, and this is not just in Pennsylvania, it's across the country, that she has such a long track record of adopting pretty lefty positions, progressive positions, that there's not been a lot of persuasiveness that she's really come around. She's trying to have a more inclusive tone and maybe a more inclusive message even, but on policy and substance, people are not convinced that she's going to govern as a moderate.
So let's go back to 2022, because this is a point that I've been making here for the last week or so, and I don't mean to be super repetitive with the audience, but I do think it's important because, you know, we were looking at some of these polling numbers in 2022, and the red wave was expected. I felt more confident than ever, and that didn't manifest itself. This is different. It's a presidential race, but, you know, obviously this thing could still go either way.
Well, look, I think there are three things that if you're the Trump campaign, I would be a little bit worried about. I mean, number one is the MSG rally and the fact that you're still playing to your hardcore base at a time when you need to make inroads with Nikki Haley voters, with people who agree with you on policy but don't like you personally. And that MSG rally did everything to remind people why they may even agree with Trump on a lot of issues but may not be voting for him. So that was one late break development that could go against Trump. You look at the polling, a lot of the New York Times Siena poll in particular, a lot more Harris or a lot more undecided voters or people who may change their mind are leaning towards Harris, not Trump. So a lot of Democrats think there may be a shy Harris vote among women in red states or undecided voters, Nikki Haley voters, who we heard about the shy Trump voters. I'm not hearing a lot of shy Trump voters this time around. In my neighborhood, which is pretty Democratic, I see a lot of Trump signs this time around. But I think there may be some shy Harris voters, people who don't like Harris. They don't like, obviously she hasn't given them much reason for moderates to vote for her, but, you know, maybe they don't want to tell, you know, the speculation is they may not want to tell their husbands or they may not want to come out and say they're a Harris supporter in a red state or a swing state, but they, in the privacy of the ballot, maybe they'll swing at that last minute way.
And that's fair. That's where some of the polling, we don't know how much to trust it. There's going to be some surprises. We always see surprises on election night. But I do think things, and I don't know if this is just something that is with me. Look, Josh, I didn't vote for Trump in 2016. And I kind of took a stand personally just because I felt like there was reprehensible behavior. Some of the people that are even on his team right now, like J.D. Vance, I think felt the same way. I could not be more enthusiastic about voting for Trump this time. And I know a lot of people like me who, like, might have been in the same camp or even, you know, 2 years ago, let's face it, we were talking about DeSantis, we got to move away from Trump. A lot of people in that camp, they've swung back because they see the writing on the wall with this other ticket. And the American people just don't buy her flip-flops. They just don't.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, on the fact that there are a lot more Trump voters that probably voted third party in 2016.
Yeah, right.
Of course, if you reallocate, you know, the third party vote in 2016 to Trump, Trump would have won in a landslide. I mean, it would have been a comfortable Trump win. A lot of people in that camp voted third party. So Hillary ended up winning the popular vote, even though I think there was sort of a silent majority of Republicans and then third party voters that were, you know, pretty anti-Hillary.
Yeah, so do those people, because that's my follow-up question would be about RFK and Elon Musk and Tulsi, and, you know, the Joe Rogan podcast featured a lot of talk about those three. Is that going to be something that significantly has an impact? We talked about it when RFK Jr. made the, you know, the switch a couple of months ago, but are you seeing a trend there, or is that insignificant?
Well, sure. There's a realignment of sorts. Younger men in particular, but I think a lot of people are surprised that Gen Z men are trending or surprisingly supportive of Trump, unlike Gen Z women, right? You know, the youngest Americans that are eligible to vote. That's a core constituency that Trump has been appealing to throughout the campaign. They've listened to Joe Rogan's podcast. RFK appeals to them, perhaps. Tulsi Gabbard, not hawkish, very, very, very isolationist, or not in favor of a strong American presence overseas. That is the type of voter that Trump has made gains with in this election. That said, he's also lost some of those traditional conservative voters, the Liz Cheney voters, maybe even the Nikki Haley. I mean, that's why Kamala Harris is really making a play for the Nikki Haley voting Republicans, soft Republicans, anti-Trump Republicans. So there's a little movement in both directions in the electorate. My question is, big picture, does the gains that Harris may be making in the suburbs among affluent suburbanites, women in particular, is that going to overcome the inroads that Trump has been steadily making among all kinds of working class groups, from young men to Hispanics to African American voters in particular? So those are the cross currents right now in the electorate.
What are the chances, serious question here, that we know the result by even Wednesday morning, in your opinion?
I would bet against it.
Yeah, me too.
Pennsylvania, well, my read is that the state that's going to decide this election, if it's a close election especially, Pennsylvania, that is one of the slower, because of state rules, they can't start counting the votes until the polls close on election day, so it's going to be a slow count in Pennsylvania. So if that's the state that decides the election, if that's what either campaign needs to get over the top, it could take past Wednesday morning to figure out.
Have you, because we always talk baseball, Josh K, and you know, both our teams didn't do very, very well. We have some questions about the St. Louis Cardinals moving forward. I've actually enjoyed this World Series and some of the postseason, and I don't like either of these teams, but oh my God, Freddie Freeman, that dude is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a Yankee hater, so I'm by default
we get
rooting
it
for the Dodgers.
Right.
But my God, like this is, for Major League Baseball, I'm glad they got this matchup to showcase the best talent, Shohei and Judge and Soto, who I love and miss as a Nationals fan.
I mean, I know.
it is good to see like the best in the sport playing against each other.
Yeah, right? We got a little of that too. We got Tommy Edman and Jack Flaherty, you know, so there's a little pain with that as well. I hope you have a wonderful vacation plan for after this election, Josh Krasar. Enjoy the final week if you can, and we will talk soon.
Thanks, Mark. Good luck on election day.
Get more at 971talk.com.